Today I'm speaking with Linus Lifestyle Success, Kim. Hello, Kim. Welcome to the interview.
Hello.
We're talking on the phone today, and what part of the country are you from?
I live in Laurel, Delaware on the East Coast.
Okay. Well, would you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you? What do you do? How old are you? How tall are you?
Well, my name is Kim Botdorf. I am 38 years old, just turned 38 on September the 2nd. I'm about 5 feet 6 inches tall, currently weighing in at 139 pounds. I work full-time as a finance clerk for the town of Georgetown. In addition to that, I'm also a full-time college student working towards my bachelor's degree in business. I just graduated this past May with my associate's in business, and I thought I might as well challenge myself a little bit more and go on.
Excellent. Well, you definitely have kept yourself busy. I've come to know you over the last couple of years, and you have been definitely after it, and your hours have been filled, no doubt about it. When did you first find the Linus Lifestyle, and do you remember what brought you to the club?
Well, actually, I started on some Yahoo chat boards speaking with some girls, and from there I had kind of met Stacy Piver.
Mm.
And that was probably around September of 2001, I'd say. And I got interested in Stacy's story, and she directed me to the Bob Doyle's Body Changers website, and I started listening to the stories on his website. From there, he happened to be offering a CD, which included a download of the Linus Lifestyle version 3.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had that CD for a good 2 months before I even took a look at it. And once I did, that led me to the Linus Lifestyle and the club.
Would you remember, was that in like 2001? Was that in 2000?
Yeah, I'd have to say it was I probably purchased his CD around September of 2001.
Okay.
And like I said, I probably had it for a couple of months before I even took a look at it.
Okay. Well, the members and people listening to this are going to be looking at your pictures on the Success Gallery, and they're going to be like, you know, first of all, there's no way that the before is even the same woman. No way. And they're going to be looking at your after, and they're going to think, you know, they put somebody else's head on somebody else's body because that's just not her. So would you give us a little bit of history and go back as far as you want to go to maybe your first reckoning with weight, and tell us what your history has been like with weight and fitness and sports and just, you know, overall activity and that kind of thing and this transformation journey. Talk about any previous diets. Feel free to name names. You know, anything you liked, didn't like, so on and so forth. Give us a history here.
Well, I'd have to say that my weight was never really an issue, or so I thought, until I turned 18 and moved out of the house, and then realized that, wow, I can go to McDonald's whenever I want and eat pizza whenever I want, and that's exactly what I did. And from that point on, it was just always a struggle. I would, you know, go up 10 or 15 pounds, and then I'd do some crash diet, whatever was the fad at the time. I've taken Calban pills, I've done Weight Watchers, the cabbage soup diet, I've literally starved myself, eating one meal a day or sometimes not at all. I even, at one point in my life, had taken the Fen-Phen pills, which, you know, are now, there's a big lawsuit going on with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So my weight has always been a struggle. I've never been very active in sports or anything of that nature. Throughout the years, I guess I've dabbled with lifting weights a little bit here and there, just never stuck with it long enough to be consistent and see any sort of results as I have now.
Any thoughts as to this whole 18 and I'm free thing?
Well, we were really kind of restricted. You know, Mom didn't bring a lot of junk foods into the house, and, you know, she was a single mom with 3 kids, so there wasn't a lot of, you know, going out to McDonald's or going out for pizzas or whatnot.
Okay.
So I think when I turned 18, moved out of the house, was, you know, making pretty decent money for 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, working in downtown Chicago, I just felt like a free little bird, and, you know, I turned into like a free little elephant.
So what have you been? You know, what were you like maybe when you graduated high school, and then, you know, what did you get to? What was your heaviest, and when was that?
I have to say that when I graduated high school, I was probably around 120 pounds or so. And then the first time I can remember really being, you know, having my socks knocked off, if you will, is being 160 pounds. And I was probably about 20 years old at that time.
Okay. So it took about 40 pounds in 2 years.
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay, so you're 160 at age 20, And then where do we go weight-wise? How do, and when do we get to our highest?
It bounced around for a long time. I think my highest for a while until I hit 215 was always in the 160 range. And then I'd, you know, start going back to Weight Watchers, and I'd get it back down to in the 140 to 145 range. And, I, you know, whatever took me to 215, I don't know, just getting lazy, not exercising. You know, my husband doesn't exercise much, and I guess I kind of fell into that pattern of life. And when I got on that scale January 2nd of 2002 and saw 215 pounds on the scale, and I was, what, maybe 30 pounds shy of my husband, who's over 6 foot tall, I said, this is it. I don't like what I see in the mirror. I've got to do something. Size 18s were getting to the point where I had to lay down on the bed and zip them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was determined I was not going to buy a size 20.
One thing I hear a lot, Kim, is when someone is married, and I'm talking to a woman, a lot of times there's a, sometimes it can be like the push or the click or the shift, when there's a comparison that goes on in their mind with regard to their body, their size, their leg size, their weight or something compared to their husband. It sounds like you had a little of that going on too when you realized that you were within, what, 30 pounds of him or something?
Yes, probably about 30 pounds of his body weight. And I said, this isn't, you know, good for a female that's probably every bit of 6 inches shorter than he is.
Mm-hmm. So it was just another thing that added to fuel to the fire.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't like who I was. I didn't like looking in the mirror. I just wanted to, like, wrap that towel around me really quickly as I got out of the shower. I just didn't want to see what was really there.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that you did things around the home to, besides even wrapping the towel, to avoid seeing what was there?
Oh, yes. Lights were always off.
Lights are always off, and I'm sorry, I sound like I have a frog in my throat, but I think I finally got it cleared out. Lights always off, and mirrors, turn them around.
Oh, sure.
Or whatever.
You know, the old granny nightgowns, you know.
Okay, so that's what, January of 2002?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the highest, and that's where you've said enough's enough, 18s are tight, I've got to lay down and put those on.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do?
Well, that's kind of when I really, I guess, got the kick in the backside, you know, listening to Bob's CD, and I kind of started plugging my foods into Diet Power and watching that a little bit, and
mm-hmm.
again, led me to the Leanness Lifestyle in version 3, and I read that, got on the website, and I had managed to get myself down to around the 180-pound range in April of 2002 when I'd heard all about Diva One, and I was like, oh, gosh, it would be so great. This is would be just what I need.
Mm-hmm.
He would offer another Diva challenge. And my prayers were answered. I, mm-hmm. you know, submitted my essay and got accepted. And, you know, for that 10-week challenge, I had gone from 180 down to the 150-pound range.
So 180 to 150, and this was Diva 2?
This was Diva 2, yeah.
Diva 2, yeah.
And this was April 2002.
Okay. So you came in basically guns a-blazing for Diva 2, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And there were assignments and things to do and had to use tools and all that good stuff.
It was great.
Yeah, and the other thing is, and I remember this, but there was the decision that we kind of had to make together. I mean, ultimately it was your decision, but, you know, I kind of had a hand in it, but I remember feeling like, geez, you know, do I really want to ask this woman to do this, you know, in lieu of the other? What was that?
In lieu of not graduating on time.
Yeah. So it was, you had a choice in 2002 when you participated in Diva 2, which was either participate in Diva 2, and with the, there was a conflict, right?
Yes, I had a class that I should have been taking that for that semester at that particular time when our call-ins were supposed to be.
Yeah, for the teleconferences. And so yeah. You gave up graduating on time, which mm-hmm. wasn't like, well, I'm not going to graduate on time, so I'll graduate 3 weeks later.
No, it was graduate, 5 or 6, actually a half of a year later.
Right. So, I mean, that's just how college works. If you miss a class, you just don't pick it up the next day.
No,
you pick
unfortunately
it up,
not.
Yeah, you pick it up the next semester or whatever.
Exactly.
So you did, you graduated, you got into that 150-ish and did great, of course.
Yep.
And what did that do, though? I mean, it's when you started at 215,
mm-hmm.
you know, say on day one, and you said, that's it. I'm not putting on another pound. That's it. Was your thought process to get incredibly lean and just you had this vision in your mind of, hey, I'm going to stand on stage. I know that for sure. Let's get going here. Or where was your head at 215, and then where was your head at 150? Where was the, what's, where's
the? I think
the...
my head at 215 was just to get the weight off.
Mm-hmm.
I had no, you know, afterthoughts as to what I would do with this later.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I got to 150, I was like, well, this isn't good enough. I wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
And so around November of last year, when we had all gone to Rockford to cheer on Tom,
yeah,
I had gotten myself into the 140 range, and I just kept thinking, I saw him up on that stage, and I was like, wow, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why. I really, you know, I know Tom's a big guy on the why, but I can't really even put my finger on it now why I want to do this, but it's something that's just been burning in the pit of my belly. And I had always thought that all I wanted to do was get back into the 140s and get on my size 9 pants. And
mm-hmm.
then you had told me, no, you can be 130 to 135.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, there's just no way. I'd be too skinny, too thin. And so it really fueled my fire. And working with my personal trainer, I really started to see muscle. And that just made me hungry for wanting more.
Well, one of the assignments in Diva 2 was you had to film yourself doing, you know, some major lifts.
Yeah.
And so you turned in your video, and I remember the video. I remember the weights were pretty light, but I remember your form was really good. And after evaluating dozens of videos, it becomes very blatantly obvious when you're looking at someone who has good form. And so I remember seeing that. I remember thinking that you were quite a natural at the lifting. And so you hired this personal trainer. When did you hire the trainer?
We actually started working together toward the end of Diva 2. He had been doing my body fat test for me. And when we got to the end of Diva 2, I just told him I'd be very interested in doing some personal training.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually started working together in June of 2002. So it's been over a year now that we've been working together.
Okay. Well, I've seen you, of course, since then. And I've seen your progress, and I've also, you've let me in from time to time on what programs he's had you doing and whatnot, and I think it's a good choice. And just for anybody listening, when you're, you know, if you really want more, if you're really not sure, if you're new to lifting, hiring a personal trainer is an intelligent choice, especially, at least for a little while. You know, you have to go for a year with a personal trainer, or 2 years, but geez, 6 sessions even can make a big difference in your form. And
exactly, in your form. I mean, if you're not lifting correctly, what is the point? Number one, you're going to injure yourself, and number two, you're probably not working the muscle group the way that you need to.
Not working it the way you need to, probably not working it hard enough.
Exactly.
And definitely probably not working it to your potential.
And that's kind of why I stick with him. I enjoy lifting heavy. I mean, maybe that's not for all women, and that's fine if, you know, that's not your cup of tea. I enjoy it. I enjoy being pushed to the brink where that muscle is just screaming at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do that lifting on my own.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want is, you know, a barbell with 100 pounds coming down on your chest.
Mm-hmm. And let's face it, you know, there's just a lot of days where you go in, you're kind of tired when you hit the gym, and unless you've got, you know, I'll just say, you know, a drill sergeant that's nice in your face, it's pretty easy to just, yeah, I'll get it next time.
Exactly. I'd be so much more inclined just to say, blow it off. But
right.
You know, with him right there, we'll get to rep 12, and he'll be like, no, there's 3 more in there. Give me 3 more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just like, oh, I can't do this last one. He says, yes, you can. I'm right here. Push it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So, all right, so you graduate Diva 2. You put off graduation to participate in Diva 2, and you did graduate. You did great. And now that's 10 weeks after April, so what's that, you know, June or whatever?
Yeah, June.
So some more time goes by. And, you know, how'd you do between June and April of 2003?
I think I floundered quite a bit. I mean, like I said, I had gotten myself into the low 140s by the time we hit Rockford in November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point, well, actually, I ended up going on vacation to the Cayman Islands January of this year. And,
mm-hmm.
well, just blew all that all the heck.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say that, what do you mean numbers-wise on the scale?
Oh, I had gotten back into the 150 range.
Yeah.
So, and I came home and my clothes, because I, you know, did the thing that everybody says to do, get rid of the bigger sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have any clothes to wear.
Oh gosh.
So I kept thinking, gosh, it would be so great if Dave would just offer an intensive for people that had participated in one before. And
mm-hmm.
once again, you answered my prayer.
Yeah, that was interesting. We called it Advanced Diva One, and it was truly for either women who had either participated in another intensive, but regardless, even if you did participate in another intensive, you couldn't be accepted into Advanced Diva One unless you already had a significant level of leanness or fitness coming into it.
Exactly.
And so I really found that interesting because I'm working with, you know, really a different group of clients, but they're all the same. And what I mean is, I mean, they're all similar in that they're fairly advanced, different, but advanced, not newbies to fitness for basically all of them. I really didn't have to say, you know, you're probably going to have to work out. You know, you all came into Advanced Diva One knowing that there were certain things you were going to have to do, and it was my job to tweak and fine-tune and make sure that, you know, the line continued to be towed. And that for some, what they thought was the line to toe was readjusted.
Exactly. Well, I kind of lucked out because there were a couple of my sisters from Diva 2 that were in the advanced challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all kind of knew that, boy, this is going to be a lot tougher than Diva 2 was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, but I'm just the kind of person that I guess I need someone there to, not that you're a drill sergeant,
yeah, I know,
stretch of the imagination, but I know that I had to be accountable to you and to my sisters every week.
Well, anybody who knows me and knows my system knows that I'm a massive fan of anything that is legal, ethical, and moral, that's a gimmick gadget that pushes, that drives, that motivates. I'm a fan of all of it because there isn't anything wrong with any of it.
No.
It doesn't make anyone a weak person for using it. In fact, if they use it with success, it makes them a smart person. And like I said, I said legal, ethical, moral stuff. I'm not talking about, you know, cheating and
right.
doing things that you shouldn't do. But, you know, in your particular case, if you're just the type of person that seems to function better when you've got someone in some way that you can somehow be a little bit accountable to, where's the harm in that? There just isn't.
No, I don't think so either.
You know, there just isn't. And it makes you a better person, and if it makes you more fit than you would be on your own, and it helps you reach the goals that I know you have, then, you know, my goodness, more power to you. And that's why I've told you all along, you know, as long as you can afford it, keep that trainer you've got, or make sure you have a good one like the one you've got, because, you know, you've continued to have good success. So, all right, so you say you floundered, but, you know, you were 215 in January of 2002, and now your definition of floundering is you got back to 150. So I'm going to keep reminding you of that, because you didn't go back. I mean, you went back a little, sure. I call it recycling. You know, you recycled a little, but you didn't go all the way back. You didn't even get into the, you know, 170, 180 range.
No.
But you had done a very smart thing to help prevent that, which was there were no clothes.
I know. And I wasn't going out and buying bigger sizes. That was not an option.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, you didn't cave. And then, so with that being said, you came back from the Caymans and you lived it up, and you had all those hungry fat cells that were just waiting for you to eat like that.
Yeah.
And they sucked it up and soaked it up and all that stuff, and you came back at 150, but you didn't have the bigger clothes. Now, where was the driving force then, or when did you come back? When was that?
Well, we went like the second week of January and came back toward the end of January.
Okay. So there's February and March, and I made the announcement of these intensives pretty late. I mean, I didn't give everyone a whole bunch of time, I don't think.
No.
So what did you do then between, like, say, February and the end of March?
Well, I really didn't do much of anything.
Right.
I disappointed myself by not competing in the bodybuilding show in April that Stacy and Lisa Glover had participated in.
Okay.
I just sat there in that audience, ticked at myself once again, and said, you know, this is it. I really need to do something. And
mm-hmm.
it was actually when I had gone to that show, I had already known I had gotten accepted for the advanced challenge.
Okay. All right. So you're coming in now to Advanced Diva One. That starts end of April of 2003. And you did graduate once again, and you did stick with it, and you did really well. But tell us, what was your body weight at the beginning, what was your body weight at the end, and body fat and that kind of stuff?
My body weight at the beginning of Advanced Diva was 151, and at the end of the official 8 weeks, I was around 135. And then at the end of the 8 weeks of maintenance that we were required to do, which is an excellent thing, please keep it in every challenge that you do from here on out.
I really am going to, trust me.
I ended at 131. Body fat, I would assume that my all-time high when I was in the 215 range was probably every bit of 40%.
Mm-hmm.
I never had it measured at that point.
Sure.
The first time I had ever gotten it measured, I was, I believe it was 32%.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the 8 weeks of maintenance, I was about 14.1%. And then, of course, when I came to see, you know, and we did the workout in Naperville in August, the end of August of this year, you had measured me at like 17.6 or 17.8%.
But it probably wasn't a case of your body fat going up. It was probably just a case of different tester.
Well, that could be too, and you know, and your measurement and his measurements have always seemed to be like that 3 to 5% difference,
right,
between each other.
Yep, and that's very common, you know, and that's why I wouldn't say, and you've heard me say this, but I wouldn't say he's wrong, and I wouldn't say that anybody that's within, you know, 2 or 3% of what I'm pulling skin fold wise is wrong. I wouldn't,
right,
because I could be the one who's wrong. It's just the nature of the beast when you're doing skin folds. There's
sure.
just that margin of error.
And
but
like you said, that's why it's always good to continue to go back to the same person.
Right.
For consistency's sake.
But still, you know, there isn't anybody that's going to be criticizing you besides yourself for that 14 or 17%. My goodness, that's low. And I know you, and I know that for you, you've got this other place that you are eventually going to go to. So I know that for you, you're like, oh, yeah, I know, but that's not a bodybuilder level yet. Well, I know, but let's look at what it is. And it really is, 14 to 17% is really low. And keep in mind that there are going to be a lot of women listening to this, Kim, that are 32 and 40 and 50 and 60%.
I know, and whenever I start to think that, you know, that's not something to be happy about or proud of,
mm-hmm.
I look back through the section in the book where it shows that I'm probably in the 90th percentile.
Right.
Of all the women across the United States of America, that I have 90% better body fat than, you know, 90% of the American female population.
Right.
So whenever I think that that's not a good number, I kind of go back to that little section in the book and remind myself that, well,
yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, good for you. During the intensive, I don't think there were any big major surprises for you. I think for you, again, it was just a matter of, okay, you know, I can't do this 5 days and then 2 days of, meh. It's
right.
7 days, you know, it's 7 days, 7 days, 7 days. So it's that, just like you said, just that little bit of accountability that helps you through. But was there anything harder than you thought it would be, or anything easier during the second go around?
You know, no, honestly,
mm-hmm.
when I first started with the leanest lifestyle in the first challenge, it was like, oh my gosh, what a pain this is,
mm-hmm.
weighing, measuring, logging. But now I don't even think about it. It's second nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of my life now. I mean, I don't think anything about whipping out my little scale and taking my little lunchbox with 10 different Tupperware coolers, you know, with everything measured out for myself. It's just the way of life now.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's a typical day like, food-wise, for you? What was a typical day like, say, near the end of Advanced Diva 1? And what's a typical day like now? And just be honest on both regards.
A typical day, I usually try to eat like 4 to 6 times a day. And, I mean, as far as I just try to keep the protein and carbs as balanced as I can and just try to add in some good fats. I've actually kind of noticed, just from logging food here lately, that my fat has been very low, even with essential fatty acids in my diet. So I've been trying to get in more fish, and I've started taking flax oil also.
Okay.
To try to boost that a little bit. I've just noticed dry skin, dry hair, things of that nature.
Are you like me in that if you're not taking enough of essential fats, do you notice that when the weather changes, you notice a difference in your skin?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, my skin has never been so scaly and dry, but
mm-hmm.
these last couple of weeks, I'm like, all right, so you're not getting enough fat in the diet, and whoever thought that that would be a problem?
Right,
but,
right. Those essential fats can make all the difference in the world, though, on the skin. You're
very
right.
Very much so. I mean, we're not talking about McDonald's greasy French
no,
fries fats.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's easy to get.
No, we're talking about the good stuff.
So you've given us, you know, okay, I try to balance my protein and carbs, and people are trying to, they're scratching their head going, what does that mean? Give us a day. Give us a day. What's a real day for you during advanced
day? I'll get up in the morning, and breakfast, if I'm in a hurry, is sometimes a protein shake.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel like it, I'll add a little bit of fruit to that, a banana or what have you, some blueberries. Another good meal for me for breakfast, which is quick and simple, is some fat-free yogurt with a scoop of protein powder in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll have another meal. Usually my meals are like 6, 9, 12, 3, and 6. So then again, at about 9 o'clock, I'll just have maybe 2 or 3 ounces of chicken breast or some lean meat of some sort and perhaps a piece of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch will be whatever leftover meat I had from dinner the night before, whether it be chicken, fish, or steak, and I'll throw that on top of some salad.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you know, I'll have another little 3 to 4 ounces of protein in the afternoon with some veggies, which actually the challenges have really gotten me to start eating my vegetables. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing this veggie thing now coming out of your mouth.
I know. Isn't that amazing? I mean, sugar snap peas, my mother is like, she just can't believe it.
For all these years.
But yeah. And then, you know, dinner will be the same thing. I'll just usually have, you know, a nice big salad with, you know, some good greens, like spring mix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the regular old romaine lettuce and whatnot. Just something with some good fiber in it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, some tomatoes, some peppers on it, some sugar snap peas, and whatever meat, you know, we happen to have left over or that we've cooked up for that night.
That sounds like an end of Advanced Diva 1 day.
Yes.
Okay. So now what I want to do is, now at the end of Advanced Diva 1, and you said you were 131, and I know today you think you said you're 138 or 139, something
right.
Like that. And you know, you and I had talked a little bit about that before, but, you know, my thought on it is, you're still doing great. Obviously, you are. And anyone can see by what you've done when they're looking at your pictures and stuff that you've done incredibly well. And I know that you've got some other goals, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But what I want you to do now is let's talk about that's to get to 131, because that sounds incredibly clean. That's awesome. What about now? What's now? What's the reality of now? And not a perfect day, but what's the difference in that 7 or 8 pounds? Where does that come from? Is it less activity?
It's less activity.
It is.
It is less activity. I've really slacked on cardio.
Oh, okay.
And I, at the very beginning when I started, you know, almost 2 years ago with the leanness lifestyle, I was a chick that you couldn't get off the treadmill, and I didn't want to lift the weight.
Mm.
But now that is just a total turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, oh, give me the iron, and oh gosh, please don't make me get on the treadmill again.
Yeah.
So really, most of it has come from less activity, because pretty much I still eat the same way now that I did in Advanced Diva 1, and I try to keep it as, you know, quote-unquote paleo as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you said, I mean, the difference between eating whole natural foods and eating processed stuff,
mm-hmm.
there is such a huge difference there.
Right. Well, what about splurge meals? Splurge meal during Advanced was going to be probably a small portion of what?
Pizza.
Okay. That's great. Yeah. And what is now? Is it still the small portion of, or does it turn into a long weekend?
Well, sometimes it turns into a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do where pizza is concerned, because I still haven't quite learned the control of my favorite food, is I'll just go somewhere where I can buy a slice.
Okay.
And then I can just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have the whole thing in the house, color it gone.
Would you say that, now the difference in cardio then, during Advanced Diva 1, let's talk about activity in general.
Okay.
Activity during Advanced Diva 1 was a what? Split how with resistance and cardio?
Resistance training is generally 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And that's for about a half of an hour to 45 minutes a day.
Okay.
And then cardio during the challenge itself sometimes was 90 minutes to 2 hours a day.
Mm.
You know, and I don't mean to scare anybody by saying that,
mm-hmm.
but that was an intense action phase also.
Right.
You know, now, honestly, I've managed to just only bump up, you know, 8 to 9 pounds, and I'm lucky if I'm doing, gosh, I hate to say it, but maybe 35 to 45 minutes of cardio once or twice, maybe 3 times a week.
Right.
So, I mean, it has cut way back.
So, and if there Now, the other thing, too, I want to make a couple of distinctions here. When you were 215, the thought of doing 90 minutes a day was like, what? No way.
Oh, please.
Right.
Never in a million years.
Right. And so there's a graduation here. There's a whole continuum that you kind of went to. Because as we talk about, geez, what did you eat during Advanced EVA 1, that's pre-contest. That's very, you know, straight and narrow. That's as strict as the leanest lifestyle is ever going to get. And it's super clean, no doubt about it. At 215, going to 180, what were the changes there even? You know what I mean? Because you graduated, you know, in more than one way. You graduated to, just as you said, during advanced, I made it, it was everything but driving out to homes and making sure that there were veggies on your plate.
Right.
I did everything but that. And I finally got to drive it home, the importance of the veggies, and now, you know, you're eating some, and you're eating a lot more variety and all that. But that, again, is a graduation. So, again, not to scare someone off, but for the woman or the man or whatever, for the person who's out there who is 40, 50, 60% body fat, where's that first graduation? Where's the first step, you know? How much cleaning do they need to do? You know, do they need to graduate immediately to Paleolithic?
No, I think for someone to go that route right off the bat, they're going to start thinking that this is so restrictive. This
right.
is a diet.
Mm-hmm.
I really think they need to ease into it. And I guess it's kind of hard for me to imagine, you know, going back that far. Not
mm-hmm.
that it was that long ago, but actually what I was eating then. But I do know there was a lot more processed food
right.
in my diet when I was going from 215 to 180.
Were you still eating fast food then, too?
Yes.
Do you eat much fast food now?
No.
Yeah.
It actually, I can't. If I do, I pay for it.
Okay. And but back then, your body didn't know any different.
No.
It just was like, hey, you know. So what was a favorite fast food restaurant at 215?
McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Really? Okay. Well, you know, it's important for people to know that you've been there, you know, and not just weight-wise, but doggone it, you ate that food, and that was a common, you know, it was a common staple for you, and you didn't go from McDonald's chicken nuggets to a mixed green salad with chicken breast and olive oil.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who does that, anybody who wants to graduate from McDonald's chicken nuggets to a spring salad with chicken breast five times a day is bound for about a 2 or 3 day plan.
Exactly. It will backfire.
It will backfire. Okay, so splurge meals can sometimes now turn into 2 or 3 a week instead of the one or whatever.
Exactly.
And you might have a Friday through Sunday, not a free-for-all, but maybe a little easier, or I should say an easing up compared to where you were in Advanced EVA 1.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the few pounds, and it's only a few, that you've put on since it's been, well, over 3 months now,
mm-hmm.
since the end of Advanced EVA 1, and in those 3 months, is really related to cardio being cut by 2/3.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's a lot, because if I say, would you say you were doing 90 minutes of cardio 6 days a week?
Easily.
Okay. So if I cut out, that's 90 times 6, that's 540 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I cut out, say, 400 minutes of cardio, then that's almost a pound right there a week.
Right.
3,200 calories. So, yeah, actually, I'm going to say, and everyone will hear this later anyway, I'm actually happier, to be honest, that your food is as clean as it is and that the majority of it's coming from the activity.
Well, my tummy's happier, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that the activity part, for most people, when you're ready to crank it back up, is an easier thing to fix.
Oh, very much so.
Wouldn't you?
Very much so. And that's, I think, you know, one of the greatest things that I've learned about the leanest lifestyle that I would have never, ever learned through Weight Watchers or the Atkins diet or anything else is I've learned about my body and what to do. And I know exactly how to get back to 131 pounds.
Right.
And I know all it's going to take is just kicking up that cardio a couple more notches. And I'm not even talking about going back to doing, you know, 2 hours a day.
Right.
I just know that, hey, if I just get on that treadmill for 30 minutes every other day,
mm-hmm.
that'll make all the difference in the world for getting me back to where I want to be.
Would you, when you think about say, the last 6 or 8 weeks of weekends or splurges or just overall food intake and so forth, and only go back that far, okay? And you think about activity. What to you is tougher, eating healthy or keeping the activity where it should be?
I'd say keeping the activity where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because the food right now is, like I said, it's just the way I eat now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, Stacy says it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's, well, just me now.
Exactly. Well, that's, again, it's just extremely refreshing to hear, and it should be, you know, very encouraging to anyone listening as well, that you've gotten your food, you know, under control to that degree where it's not a burden, it's not terribly difficult for you to manage your food the way you do and eat as clean as you do.
No, I mean, it doesn't even bother me, you know, when people, like, when they have a celebration at work and somebody brings in cake. It doesn't even bother me to pass it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I would have been, oh, yeah, give me a slice. I'll just take a little piece. And
mm-hmm.
now I just, it doesn't even appeal to me.
Yeah, that's
great. Because I just know, well, I can have a lot more grapes or, you know, a big fat orange for the same amount of calories that that are in that piece of chocolate cake.
Are there any supplements that have become your staples that you would recommend anybody use?
Well, I did. What I did throughout the challenges, of course, was essential fatty acids. Mm-hmm. Three times a day. I'll take one 3 times a day. A multivitamin. I use the Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And what else I started supplementing with was calcium. As my body fat started to get lower and the loss of the cycle, you know, through suggestions from you, you said about the only thing that you would be concerned about would be lack of calcium.
Mm-hmm.
So I did start taking a calcium supplement. And I did use the Eat Less, Burn More. So I did use
a
non-ephedra-free,
right,
you know, fat burner.
Okay. Protein and meal replacement powders?
Yeah, occasionally. But like I said, for the most part, I try to stick with the whole foods. If they come into the diet, it's usually when I have a class in the evening and I can't sit down and, you know, have a chicken breast and a salad. So, you know, a quick shake I can get away with in between classes. Or, you know, first thing in the morning if I'm running a little late coming home from the gym, and, you know, a protein shake will, you know, a lot quicker than, you know, fixing up some egg whites.
What are your views on bars then now, too?
Very rarely do I eat a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly if I'm going to do something like that, I mean, I might have, Zone Perfect makes some pretty good ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the U-Turn bars, but I've learned that maybe they're not such a good thing to have around my house in quantity.
Right. A little too easy. It's too much like a candy bar.
Very much like a candy bar.
Yeah. Well, hey, you said at one time you were a tight 18.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you get down to at Advanced Evo 1? What size were you?
My size 6s are baggy right now, which is actually kind of amazing, even though, you know, my weight has popped back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of Advanced Evo 1, I was getting into 4s.
Oh, wow.
And now my size 6s are starting to get a little baggy on me. So I know that is, you know, a testament to the fact that, you know, muscle takes up less space than fat does.
Right.
It may weigh a little bit more on the scale, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey.
I'm so glad to hear you say it takes up less space than fat does, instead of, like most people say, they say, oh, muscle weighs more. Well, no, a pound of muscle and a pound of fat weigh the same. But muscle takes up way less space.
And it looks so much prettier.
It looks so much prettier. It really does. And anybody that's looking at your pictures can see that, you know, not only did you have natural form, or somehow it came to you naturally, but you really developed a really nice level of muscularity that's already been uncovered to a massive degree, and it's just, of course, waiting to be finished.
Oh, I cannot wait for the finished product.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to see, and I've seen you in person. It's easy to see that you've put on, you know, a good deal of muscle, and you can see it in your shoulders, and you can see it in your back and so forth, and, you know, it's there. So you've done an awesome job, and I know you've gotten a lot stronger, too.
Very much so.
Yeah. I mean, especially from the first time you started on your own and then working with a trainer. Well, there's someone listening right now, Kim, who is trying to figure out if they should give it a go. And I'm not even talking just about the leanest lifestyle. I'm saying, should they give it a go at all? You know, they're 215 right now. And they're trying to figure out after their second, third, 33rd attempt, is it worth it? Do I want to do this? Is this too hard? Should I try again? And could you just talk to that person a minute or two and tell them what you think they should do?
I'd say that they definitely need to go for it, whether it's their first attempt or their 100th attempt, because I think you learn something each time along the way. If I could suggest anything, whatever, find anything, read muscle and fitness magazines, peruse bodybuilding websites. I'm not saying that everything that you read on these sites is going to be gospel, but I think that you know, once you start to learn a little bit more, you'll pull out what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And every attempt that I've made at losing weight, I've learned something along the way. And this is even before Leanness Lifestyle, when I was doing Weight Watchers and Atkins and everything else. You do learn something about yourself. And, you know, even my trainer's actually kind of shocked sometimes when I go in and, you know, talk about delayed onset muscle soreness or edema, or I know that, you know, my legs are going to be swollen the next day and there might be a couple of extra pounds on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, your knowledge of yourself and where you are and how you've gotten there is just amazing. I said, well, I have to say that, you know, all my attempts along the way have taught me something.
Exactly.
So please don't ever give up on yourself. If this is what you want, please go for it. You will never be disappointed in yourself. There will be setbacks along the way. Life's going to throw you curveballs. You know, my life's not a cakewalk right now, but you know, I've learned that eating food is only going to kill that pain for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain that I'm going to feel, you know, more so that I splurged and went off track, is going to be so much worse than, you know, that how good that bite of chocolate cake or those M&Ms are going to taste for the moment. That only lasts for a second.
Mm-hmm. So true. And, you know, your transformation is going to be, you know, an inspiration to hundreds and eventually thousands of people over time. And where is, and people have talked about this, and they know that I'm a motivating coach, and they know I want people to achieve their best and all that, but as I've come to really make clear, it's not about what I want once someone gets to the level that you are already. And what I mean is, once you get to a healthy level, a healthy weight for your height, and your overall just daily activity or weekly activity, whatever you'd like to think about, is where it should be. At that point, I'm happy. You know, I'm very happy for the person. I'm totally thrilled for you, of course. But I've come to know you a bit. I've met you in person, and I know there's something else. So what is it that you eventually want to do? What is it that you eventually will do, and not what is it that, you know, Dave's going to push you to do, but what is it that you want to do?
I want to be on a bodybuilding stage.
Just have to do this for yourself and...
Well, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that have done it, and they say it has something to do with the perfectionist in us, and that, you know, while you feel you can't be perfect at other things, maybe at your job or at your school, because there's other factors that determine those things, you can be perfect at this because you are in total control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I want that brass ring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I mean, it's not like I was checking out bodybuilding sites at the age of 13 or even had any desire, but it's become a desire, and it's become a really bad want. I always tell my trainer, I said, I feel like I'm this little piece of clay that you've just chipped at little bits at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I can see that this piece of blob clay is now becoming a work of art, I said, it just makes me want more.
Do you know that one of the Team Muscle 2 members coined a phrase? And so I have to quote him because it's awesome. His name is John Weber, and he coined a phrase that describes perfectly what you're talking about, Kim. And that's, he calls it the body fat striptease. What he said is that the more body fat he lost, the more it teased him to want to take it further.
Yeah.
Because like you, when he started, you know, he had a substantial amount of body weight. He never dreamed at all that he would ever get to six-pack city, ever. But the more he lost, the more he wanted.
Exactly.
The more he saw coming through the skin, the more he wanted. And he calls it the body fat striptease.
I like that.
Me too. And so that phrase is going to, I'm sure, become, you know, quite the standard around the club, because I can't let go of it. I think on these interviews I've done, even in the last week, I think I've said it three or four times, is it fits, you know, because what you're describing is really quite common with regard to stripping it off, you know. What, the more you see, the more you want.
It's very true.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time with me today and sharing a part of your life and letting me dig a little deeper than I might with maybe some others.
You're very welcome.
It's really going to be great, and you know, the other members are going to continue to watch and see where you go. And you know, anyone listening to this, you can mark my words. She hasn't done it yet, but one of these days, of her own free will,
yeah.
She's going to get on stage. And, you know, there's in a hurry. If it's this year, next year, the year after, whenever it is, it's going to come.
Well, you know, chatting with a couple of people from the board, George in particular, he says, your biggest problem is you lack self-confidence.
Mm.
I said, I know. I've just never been kind of an out there person.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I will be it someday.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing, is it, you know, things will evolve over time. All of this has evolved over time. You know, your eating plan, your training regimen, the muscle you've accumulated, just your daily routine as far as food preparation and all of that.
Sure.
It's evolved.
None of it's been easy, but it's all been very, very worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'd ever want to pedal backwards.
Well, I don't think I could say it any better. I think we'll leave it at that. Kim, thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you.
We'll be speaking to you soon and keep in touch, and we'll follow up as things progress.
Okay, great.
Okay. Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. If you enjoyed this recording and would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. And spelling that out, that is www.LennonLincoln, E as in Edward, A as in Adam, N as in Nora, N as in Nora, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, then lifestyle.com. That's www.LennonLifestyle.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording.